Would you please turn to Acts chapter 16? Acts chapter 16, verse 1. Now, speaking about the Apostle Paul here, it says, "Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem." Now this is interesting because Paul meets this guy named Timothy. And it's not very clear. I mean, according to what we read here, he didn't know Timothy before this. Timothy's mother was a Jew, but his father was a Greek. And Timothy had not been circumcised. Now, I find this really interesting because I'm not sure what kind of reception he had been receiving from the Jews, what kind of reception his mother had been receiving. I mean, there's a whole lot to this story that's not explicitly clear. But he wasn't circumcised, which means that his dad really did not have an interest in such a thing. And the fact that Paul was so adamant against making people go under the law, I find it interesting that he had Timothy circumcised. But the reason was because of the Jews in those quarters, in that region, they knew that his father was a Greek. What we're seeing here is the fact that Paul knew if Timothy was not circumcised and he took him with him, the Jews would completely shut him down. "We don't want to hear anything you have to say because of this guy right here." Now, apparently, Paul realized that the resistance would be so strong and so intense to the gospel that he told Timothy, "Look, I'd like to take you with me, but you need to be circumcised." Well, Timothy had to agree to this. Now, Timothy would have known what circumcision was about and why Paul was saying he needed to do it because, you know, his mom was Jewish. Well, with this in mind, let's get a little background here about Timothy. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 1. And we're going to begin reading in verse 5. And what we're going to read, to me, is just an outstanding testimony. In verse 1 of 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers day and night, night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." Now this is just incredible. Because what it means is grandma taught mama, and then mama taught Timothy. You see this? And then Timothy, look, kids have a choice. I know that. They have a will of their own. But Timothy listened. And he paid attention to what was taught. Now, I don't know how far back all this goes. And what I mean is, at what point did grandma come to this place of unfeigned faith? And at what point did mama come to this place of unfeigned faith? And then they began teaching Timothy. So Timothy was greatly influenced by his mother and his grandmother. And this led him to pursue a greater understanding of God and salvation, Jesus Christ, because he's referred to as a disciple. That means he was a disciple of Jesus Christ. So Timothy has put forth the effort to come to this place of having a deep understanding of the things of God and of Christianity. His reputation was such that other believers commented to Paul, "This guy Timothy, there's something special about him. You need to meet him. You need to talk to him." So Paul gets with him and they begin to talk. And Paul is so impressed. He says, "Timothy, I'd like you to travel with me in my ministry." Well, my goodness, you know, if you were Timothy, what in the world would you think? You know, seriously, you want me to go with you? Me? Timothy? Yeah, Timothy, I do. What an opportunity. Because this meant that Timothy probably had been influenced, at least indirectly, by the teachings of the Apostle Paul. Maybe at some point in time, Timothy had been in services somewhere where Paul had taught. But now, let me just put it like this. Timothy has the opportunity to travel in ministry with his hero. Now, I don't know if that's exactly how Timothy thought of the Apostle Paul, but Timothy had to have had a great understanding of who Paul was and about his ministry, so that when Paul told him, "I'd like you to travel with me, but you'll have to be circumcised first," Timothy agreed to it. Man, you got to be committed here, okay? Really committed. So we see that there is a legacy of a relationship with God and his family. We don't really know a whole lot about his dad other than, well, he was a Greek. But beyond that, we see that grandma and mama, they did a really good job in teaching Timothy. Now look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And pick it up in verse 14. Paul is communicating with the Corinthians, and you know that church was a mess. He says, "I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers in Christ Jesus. I have begotten you through the gospel." You have not many fathers in Christ Jesus. I have begotten you through the gospel. "Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. For this cause I have sent unto you Timothy, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church." Now, this is really amazing, because first off, the sarcasm in verse 15 is so obvious. You know, you have 10,000 instructors in Christ. Well, everybody at that church, you know, they thought they were a preacher or a prophet or a whatever. And he says, "But you don't have many fathers, because in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel." Then he says, "Be followers of me." Well, later on, he clarifies and says, "Be followers of me as I am of Christ." But he says, "For this cause, I have sent unto you Timothy. He's my beloved son. He's faithful in the Lord. And he shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church." So what we see is that by the time this event takes place, Timothy has matured so much in God that he is able, absent from Paul, to teach everything that Paul would teach. That means Timothy understood everything that we read that Paul wrote. And here today, so many Christians are fussing about these things, you know, debating over what it means and this, that, and the other. But Timothy understood this. That means you could have gone to a service where Timothy was teaching, and you'd have gotten the same kind of teaching that you would have gotten if you'd have gone to an Apostle Paul service. And he says, you don't have many fathers. Be followers of me. And I'm sending unto you Timothy. That means from Paul's perspective, Timothy would have been considered a father in the faith. Even though Timothy maybe had never preached to these folks before or whatever the situation would have been, but Paul considered Timothy to be someone who would teach them and lead them deeper in their relationship and their walk with Christ and put them in remembrance of things that Paul had taught before. Timothy, I guess you could say, is one of, to me, he's like an unsung hero in Scripture. We kind of overlook the magnitude of his status when it comes to ministry. And the Apostle Paul considered him to be an equal. That's powerful. Absolutely powerful. Well, now look over in 2 Timothy chapter 2. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, and this is, as far as we know from history, the last letter that the Apostle Paul wrote. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, he writes, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So here's the imagery. Timothy, you know, you've been with me and I've taught you. And now you have the responsibility to teach others in the same way that I have taught you, so that they will come to the place of being able to teach other people the same way you were taught by me. In other words, pass it down. Pass it along. Teach people so that they can turn around and teach others also. This right here, it's a message to the body of Christ. Because what we see is that Timothy, he didn't just sit and listen to what Paul taught. He made it a part of his own life. He made it a part of his own life to the point that he was able to go out and teach in the same way that the Apostle Paul taught. Now, it would have been Timothy's personality, his voice, his style of delivery, but the message would have been the same. There would have been no difference whatsoever. So then Timothy, he's teaching other people with the hope that they're going to end up teaching it the way they've heard it. Now, if that had happened the way that the Apostle Paul had hoped, and if that had happened the way that Timothy had hoped, we wouldn't have so much division in the body of Christ today. But somewhere along the line, the teachers of truth got outnumbered, and the truth got watered down. So now here we are, 2,000 years later, trying to relearn a lot of things that had already been established in the church. Now look over in 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. You know, it's interesting how some things, you know, you hear taught in a sermon, you think, oh my goodness, what powerful revelation. It's been there for 2,000 years. People knew it. 2,000 years ago. And we're just now, you know, the light bulb goes off above our heads and it's like, wow, look at this. It's like, well, been there all along. People knew it all along. But in 1 Peter chapter 3, look at verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Be ready. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you. Be ready always, always. Now, some people might take this to mean, well, you got to memorize the Bible. No. I mean, if you can, glory to God. I know some people have. But it's not a matter of having the Bible memorized. It's a matter of having the message in your heart. It's a matter of knowing, and knowing enough about Scripture to where, well, I don't remember the exact chapter and verse, but I can find it here for you. You know what I'm saying? And he says, be ready always. Always. That means when you leave here tonight, you should be ready. Somebody asks you, well, where'd you go tonight? You say, well, I went to church. Well, why'd you go to church? What would you say? Why would you tell them you went to church? Well, you know, because you're supposed to. Okay, praise God. Why? Why are you supposed to? Well, you just are. Okay, but why are you just are? Well, it's just a thing you do. You know, when you're a good Christian person, you go to church. Well, I got a lot of friends that say they're Christians. They don't go to church. Well, yeah, but you're just supposed to. I mean, at what point are you going to be able to explain to them from the Word of God why you went to church? Well, because God says you're supposed to. Okay, well, why does God say you're supposed to? Well, I don't know, but he just does. There. That doesn't cut it. Why? Why are you supposed to do this? And you know what's really sad is that so many Christians, I don't know they could give an answer to that. A simple thing like, why do you go to church? Well, so you can learn more about Jesus. Okay. Is that it? That just sounds so shallow. And really, it's not so much about so you can learn more about Jesus, it's so you can become more like Jesus. So you can become a reflection of Jesus. Look over in Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. And this really kind of ties in with what we just read there in 1 Peter chapter 3. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles or the teachings of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, over there in Peter it said, be ready always to give an answer, to be able to explain why you believe what you believe. Then here we see, by now, you ought to be teachers. You ought to be able to teach, you know, the first principles, the basic fundamental principles and aspects of Christianity. You should be able to do that. The problem is most Christians don't. Now, I understand, you know, I'm a pastor, I'm a teacher, so it's kind of expected that I would know some of these things. I get that. But, you know, I was studying things before I ever preached my first sermon. I was doing this before I even knew I was called to preach. So when the time came for me to preach, I already had a pretty good foundation in me. Now, granted, that foundation has gotten thicker and stronger and so forth as the years have gone by. But the point I'm making is, I was putting forth some effort before God ever confirmed to me, He had called me to ministry. Now, this church is a teaching church. Now listen closely to this, because I don't want anybody to get offended at me, okay? The thrust of this church is discipleship. Okay? You understand this? Many people would say, well, the thrust of your church ought to be evangelism. No. The thrust of a believer should be evangelism, but the thrust of a church should be shepherding the flock. And if the focus of a church is primarily get them saved, get them saved, get them saved, well, you're missing half of what Jesus said. He said, get out there, tell them about me, and then when they get born again, you teach them what I taught you. Now that's, you know, the paraphrase, right? But that's part of the Great Commission. So knowing this, that this is a teaching ministry, I can say, based on what I do and what others do who stand here in this pulpit, you are being taught. Now, I wish everybody who attends this church physically were here tonight. And I wish everybody who attends this church by way of the internet were logged on tonight. Well, they might be. I don't know. But you are being taught. Now, I know this. Therefore, are you ready to teach? Are you ready always to give an answer, a reason for why you believe what you believe? Now, some may be, I don't know. Some maybe not. But most of the people who attend this church have been here, been attending now for a few years. Knowing that to be true, where are you in this whole teaching thing? Where are you? Now, some people might say, well, yeah, but Pastor Jim, I mean, you're up there at the pulpit, all right? I don't have a pulpit. Okay. But according to the Word of God, you should be teachers. Now, that doesn't mean called to the ministry of a teacher, but you should be a teacher who can explain the basic fundamental principles of what it means to be a Christian and be able to give a reason, an explanation as to why you believe what you believe. You should be able to teach that much. So, can you? Can you do that? Now, a lot of folks who attend here, or, you know, either in person or by the internet, would probably be feeling a little uncomfortable right about now because they know that they can't. Too many people ride the coattails of their pastor. And when a situation comes up, the first thing that happens is, call the pastor. Call the pastor. Okay, for what? Well, so-and-so needs prayer. Well, did you pray for them? Well, yeah. Okay. And? Well, my prayers don't count. I mean, I'm just a nobody. You're the pastor. But wait a second. Doesn't it say in Scripture that those who believe will lay hands on the sick and they'll recover? What? My hands are holier than thine? What? No. As believers, we're supposed to do this. And the thing is, most Christians, they can't give an answer for what they believe. Do you know one of the biggest drawbacks in this kind of a situation? It's that the next level of your life how can I say this? Okay. How many of you know that, like when you went to school and you'd sit in class and the teacher would be teaching whatever subject, and then the teacher would give you homework, right? And tests. And you had to do well on the homework, and you had to do well on the tests so you could get a good grade. And if you got good grades in all your classes, then guess what? Why, you completed that school year, and then you got promoted to the next school year, and then the next school year. And sometimes you got students that, man, they're straight A's. And some students, well, you know, they're C's and all that. But you got promoted. I mean, you did enough to get promoted, right? One of the biggest drawbacks about this kind of a situation is that this is not a school in that sense. Meaning, you can just skate by every day, every week, every month, every year, and there's no next grade. One of the drawbacks to this is that your paycheck is not dependent on it. Because if your boss told you, you're going to have to learn how to operate the Uchiguchi machine, because if you don't, well, your job depends on it. You know what you're going to do, don't you? You're going to do everything you can to figure out how to run the Uchiguchi machine. And then you can be an Uchiguchi specialist. It's a machine that comes from Japan, the Uchiguchi machine. And y'all know what I'm talking about. If your boss says you have to go to these continuing education classes in order to keep your job and get your raise, you're going to do it. But when it comes to church, most Christians don't do squat. They can't give an explanation for why they believe what they believe. They just believe it. Well, praise God, at least you believe it. But they can't give an explanation. From that perspective, I wish that I had that kind of authority in the lives of the people that call this the home church, to where I could give you homework and you got to do it, or it impacts your life in some way.
Well, that's terrible, Brother Martin. No pastor should have that much control.
Well, you know what? Christians ought to have enough self-control to do it on their own. But they don't. Most don't. Now, if I were going to give you homework, I'd give you assignments in certain areas. See, think of this. We've got a room here in this church. It's called a nursery. Now, babies are taken to the nursery. And any of you who've worked in the nursery, well, you kind of know what goes on. The babies, they might cry, they might fuss, or they might play, they might sleep, get their diapers changed, get fed. I don't know, all the stuff that goes on in a nursery. Churches need to be ready for new converts. We should have spiritual nurseries. Because you've got people that come in, they don't know. Or you've got folks that come from other churches and all their life they've been taught things that are wrong. Well, they need to be taught. They need to be taught correctly. And too many times, well, Pastor, you know, you ought to be doing this. Pastor, you ought to do this. Pastor, you ought to teach this. Pastor, you ought to, you know, start another class and do this. It's like, how much do you want me to do? Should not others be ready to do this? Should not you and you, should you not be ready to do this? Now, I'm not talking about standing here in the pulpit and teaching. I'm just talking about being able to share some of the basic functions of being born again. You should be able to do that. Whether you ever actually do it or not, but you should be able to.
Well, yeah, but I don't have a pulpit.
Well, you know what? You can create lessons and save them. Save them for a later time. One of the things that happened in the Bible college, and I would tell the students this, you know, every year, the papers that you write for your course, save these papers. Write them as though they are a lesson for future use. It's not just for a grade. It's not just to pass the course. This is for you to prepare for your future. For you to be able to, even if it's just you have some friends over and you sit around the kitchen table with coffee and donuts and bagels and you teach. But the papers that you write are for your future, not just for your now. And I would share that with the students. I don't know how many of them grabbed a hold of it, but, yeah, there's one hand. But you can do that without even being a part of the Bible college. You can sit down, you can be studying certain things and create a lesson. You have your Bible. And I talked the other day about, being able to access on the internet free research, you know, lexicons for Greek and Hebrew words and so forth. But you also have all the teachings that have come from this church. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. You have all these teachings that are available to you, and you can use them as a resource. And that's okay. And you should. When Timothy taught, what do you think he was doing? He was teaching as some of the things that he heard Paul teach. But truth is truth. Here's the thing. If you teach truth, sooner or later, you're going to sound like you're just copying somebody else's sermon. But truth is truth. And if it's truth, well, yeah, you're going to sound like you copy somebody else's sermon. But if it's truth, what difference does it make? I mean, if it's truth, yeah. If all everybody did was teach truth, we're all going to sound like we're teaching each other's messages. So see, you can do this. You can have a lesson plan. You can be ready. You can have your own little, you know, file cabinet or whatever. You're on your computer. I mean, however you would do it, you can have this. It can be ready. And you can be prepared to teach. If I were giving you homework, if this were that kind of a setting, and we had that kind of an arrangement, then what I would tell you is to create lessons on certain subjects. Now, when I say a lesson could be something that you just can't completely cover in one session. So it might take 2, 3, 4 sessions to get through the entire lesson. That's okay. That's not a problem. But I would give you the homework to prepare a lesson on prayer. On prayer.
Well, what kind of prayer?
It's your lesson. What does that mean to you? Prayer. On prayer. A lesson on prayer. How many parts would it be? But a lesson on prayer. I would also tell you, you have to create a lesson on fasting. I would tell you that you have to create a lesson on worship, which would include praise. I would tell you that you have to create a lesson on the Word of God. What does that mean? Well, what does the Word of God mean to you in your life? What have you heard over the last 20 years? I'd have you prepare a lesson on the Word. I would also have you prepare a lesson on healing. I would have you prepare a lesson on prosperity.
Oh, that's easy. Got a need, sow a seed. Hallelujah.
Oy vey.
Next lesson.
I would have you prepare a lesson on water baptism. I would have you prepare a lesson on what exactly does it mean when you get born again? What is born again? I mean, that's where it actually starts. What is born again? Explain it.
Well, your sins get washed away.
And what is born again? I would have you, I'd give you the homework to create a lesson on holiness. Holiness. Without which no man shall see God. I'd have you create a lesson on holiness. I'd have you create a lesson on the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I would give you the assignment, create a lesson on tongues. And on each of these lessons, each one of them, you absolutely must use a minimum of 10 verses or passages. Each one of them, a minimum of 10. For example, tonight, we read Acts chapter 16, verses 1 through 4. Okay, that would count as one passage. So you would have to have a minimum of 10 verses or passages for each one of these subjects. Now, if I were giving you homework, that's where we would start, and I would give you a date by which it has to be done.
Well, Brother Martin, don't you understand? I have a life, I have a job, I have a family, I have a car, dog, parakeet, and I have noisy neighbors.
You know what? You'd be facing the same thing if your boss said, you better figure out how to work the hoochie-goochie machine or whatever it was we had a few minutes ago. You see what I'm getting at? Those kind of excuses aren't going to hold up on the job. Those kind of excuses aren't going to hold up when you go to your college professor and you say, I can't do this. I can't do my lab time. I can't do that. I can't. It's not going to work. But see, all of those kind of excuses and more, they work very well in church because, number one, in most churches, the people who attend the church, they really are not submitted to the authority of the pastor. They're submitted as long as they're happy with everything, but the moment they're not happy about anything, well, that you ask too much. You place too great demands on us. Really? Seriously? Okay, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to step down from being the pastor. I'm going to let you be the pastor for 6 months, and then let's see how it works. No, thanks. Now, I know that's not really going to happen. But I think you understand what I'm saying. We have expectations of the pastor, and we should. The problem is the expectations I wasn't always a pastor. The expectation for most believers, it's way, way down there. And we don't expect as much of us. I'll go to church and, I'll hear what the pastor has to say. And then we're not ready always to give an answer for what we believe. What would be so hard? Now, these things that I shared, develop a lesson on prayer, on fasting, on worship, on the word, on healing, on prosperity, on water baptism, on what is born again, on holiness, on the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and tongues. I mean, this is all basic stuff. This is entry-level teaching. This is not line upon line. What I'm just sharing, these topics right here, this is not the way I sometimes teach, and we go through like a couple of chapters, and I tie the chapters together and show you how they're tied together and break down the verses as we're going. That's not what this is. Now, you could turn it into that, I understand. But this is just like basic stuff, entry-level things. Like he says here in Hebrews, the first principles of the oracles of God. And then he identifies some of those in chapter 6, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Let us go on unto perfection or full maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. Okay, there's a subject. What does that mean? Write a lesson on repentance from dead works. What does that mean? Write a lesson on faith toward God. What does that mean? Write a lesson on the doctrine of baptisms. What? You mean there's more than one? Well, there must be, because it's in there. Write a lesson on the laying on of hands. Write a lesson on the resurrection of the dead. Here's a good one. Write a lesson on eternal judgment. Okay, he says these are entry-level, basic, foundational. As a believer, y'all should know these and be able to explain them. So can you? If I give you the homework assignment that I just read, all these subjects, plus these subjects here in Hebrews chapter 6, and I tell you, you have until, let's make it easy. You have until June 1st, to develop a lesson on all of this, each one of these. Now, June is a lot longer than what you really need, but could you do it? Could you really do it? Truth is, you ought to be able to in this church. Every one of you ought to be able to. Out of everything that you've heard taught over the years, you ought to be able to. Now, I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad. I'm not trying to put you under some kind of condemnation. What I'm trying to do is bring to light that as Christians, we have a responsibility to these things. See, let me say it another way. I want you, all of you, and those of you out there who ought to be in here, I want you to be Timothy's. And I want you to teach others also who can teach others also. I want that from every single one of you. No exceptions. I mean no exceptions. None. All of you. In fact, this would include, like, let's just say anybody 18 and older. You ought to be able to do this. When you consider what was expected of the Jewish boys under the law and what they had to know, it's not asking too much to say anybody 18 and older should be able to create lesson plans for these things. Now, granted, I could say,
all right, every one of you in here, you have till June 1st.
The thing is, I don't want to have to sit down and read 4011 lesson plans from every... But you should be able to take it upon yourself and do this. You really should. And, you know, a lesson plan, it can be just an outline. It doesn't have to be, you know, word for word, everything that you want to say. I mean, if that's what you're comfortable doing. But it can just be an outline. You know, a lot of the notes that I have when I minister, it's just the verses that I'm going to be referencing, and sometimes just a couple of words as a memory jogger. That's it. I mean, look, here's tonight.
Well, Brother Martin, but that's you, you know, that's you. You know,
I understand everybody's different. I get that. But what works for you? Do you have anything at all in the way of a lesson, of a teaching? Do you have any kind of notes? You know how a lot of people talk about journaling? You know, it's like Dear Diary, really, is what a journal is. And you know what they do in their journals? They write down things that they did during the day and what they liked and what they didn't like and so on and so forth. And you're telling me you can't create a lesson plan? Seriously? Now, I don't know if anybody in here journals or not. I don't. Because I... Because I find it excessively boring. I think I tried it one time and got about two sentences. And I was like, this is dumb. I'm not doing this anymore. Now, if you do it, that's okay. Really, there's nothing wrong with doing that. The point I'm making is everybody can do this. Every single believer, you can do this. Now, I just want to pass this on to you. Think about this. Pray about it. Really give consideration to it. Yeah, well, Brother Martin, what if I do all these lesson plans and they never get used? Here's what will happen. You'll die, and somebody will find them. And when they find them, they will read them, and they will pass them around to others. Look what he left behind. Look at this legacy she has passed down to us. See this? Now please, don't leave here tonight thinking, oh great, I got till June 1st to get all that. No, no, I'm not doing that. No. This is totally between you and God. But it's something you should be able to do. Whether you put it all in writing, which helps. Like this right here. All these little notes and so forth. Okay, I saved these on the computer. Now, I don't know if I'll ever look at them again. But they're there. It's the same kind of principle for each one of you. Please just give this thought. See, one of the things that will happen when you do this, all of a sudden you're going to start finding treasures in Scripture that you never fully realized were in there. And I suggest that if you choose to develop lesson plans, pray softly in the Holy Spirit as you're doing this. And He'll start bringing things to mind. He'll start reminding you, He might even remind you of a sermon I preached 10 years ago and want you to listen to it again. But as you do this, I'm telling you, you're going to grow and you're going to benefit beyond what you realize. And it doesn't have to be, you know, a college level, whatever. Truth of the matter is, though, you guys here, you're far enough along. The lesson plans you would create would be way beyond what is taught in most Christian universities, colleges, and seminaries. I know that. I know for a fact. I know you would. I know you would, because once you start digging into this, man, that stuff's going to start coming out of your storehouse. It'll happen. I know it. So give this some thought, because this is something that God wants us to do. He wants us to be at this place of being ready to give an answer. And I'm not telling you, you know, well, Pastor said we have to completely disrupt our lives and we have to, you know, I can't even eat anymore, barely take a shower. You know, I got to do my lesson plan. No, 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 come on. Don't do this. There is therefore now no condemnation. What I'm trying to do is bring to light what is kind of a weak area in a lot of Christians, showing you God's expectation of us to be able to explain what we believe and then to be prepared for when that day might come to where you are serving God in a spiritual nursery and teaching those spiritual babes some of the basic foundational oracles of God. So be encouraged with this, guys. Take it to heart, think about it, pray about it, and, well, maybe even act on it. Praise the Lord. Well, go ahead and stand. Well, Father, I want to thank you for this. You know, for some people, this might be a real challenge, because they've never done anything like this before. But I'm asking you, please, just minister to them, guide and direct them into how to do this so that what they do will be what you want them to do, not what they think I want them to do. And Father, I thank you ahead of time for the way that they're going to see things in your word. Things are going to click. They're going to grow. It is going to be an exciting adventure for them. And I thank you for this. I praise you for it, Father. And collectively, we are all going to benefit as a result. Praise your name, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for all of these teachers who are a part of this ministry.